this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the gift of life. We want to thank you because of what you want to do with our life. And it's already unfolding in our presence. Thank you, Father, because you made it possible for us to be part of what you want to do. For as many of us as are even worshiping this morning, it's a special privilege to be in the presence of God. And you have made it possible. To you be all the honor, the glory, the dominion forever and ever in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you for everything. Again, this morning we are already here. You have invited us, and we are already here. Lord, we pray you will speak to us in a very definite way in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm begging you that this Sunday will not be a routine Sunday. It will be a mark for us all in the name of Jesus. You will do something very, very unusual in our life this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray as your word will be coming forth. Grant us deep revelation in your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Let us be seated. The message I've started since yesterday and I'll continue, but I will paraphrase a little bit for you, and I'm sure yesterday's message was recorded. So that if you want to have a full gist, I'm sure you can get the cassette so that it can be a continuous thing. Now, though our pastor, he has tagged the message yesterday, the call, the journey, and the urgency. That was the topic he gave to it yesterday. We read from Genesis 27 yesterday. Genesis 27. And we will still continue from there this morning. Genesis 27. I will read again to refresh your memory if you are here yesterday. When Isaac was old, from verse 1 now. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here am I." He answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man, and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver, and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." That was the message yesterday. And the way God spoke to us yesterday is the call, the journey, and the urgency. But I just want to pick a word from that, and I will be building on that today. The statement I want to pick, Isaac called Esau and he demanded for something. He said, "Prepare me a tasty food." Different versions call it different thing. King James said, "Prepare me a venison." Other versions say, "Appetizing food." Others say, "Savory meat." Whatever language, but Isaac was demanding for something very, very peculiar. And I said yesterday, we are on a journey. A journey to eternity. A journey to the purpose of God for your life. A journey in the mandate that God has given unto you. A journey in the family life. And a journey in the business. Let's say secular business. Though I don't believe in dichotomy between secularity and spirituality. I don't believe in that. When I'm operating in the theater, I believe I'm doing a spiritual work. That's my belief. So I don't see like using the word secular or spiritual. But for clarity. So we are in a journey. Whatever aspect. And I said yesterday that at every stage of that journey, you are on a particular spot. And you need to hear something. There must be a message for that spot. There must be a word for that spot. There must be a call, like we had here. Isaac called for Esau. He said, Esau. And the boy said, sir, here am I. And he gave the message. That is a call. But that call was different from the ones he has been receiving. Or let me say, it's a build-up. It's a build-up on the several calls he has been getting. So, yesterday I emphasized the fact that at every stage you have reached, there is need for you to wait, according to our theme this month, to say, God, what are you saying now? Today is Sunday, 14th day. It's different from every other day. So you must be able, that's what we call Christianity. That's what we call spirituality. Spirituality is a daily reception from the throne of God. A daily leadership. Turning to the Spirit. The Bible talks about turning to the Spirit all the time. That's what makes our life spiritual. If you don't turn to the Holy Spirit every moment, it becomes a religion. It becomes a routine. And God has not called us into religion. He has called us into spirituality, into a relationship with Him. So, we saw that yesterday. Like I said, try to lay your hands on that. But today, I want to come down to, He said, prepare me a tasty food. Prepare me an appetizing food. And yesterday I told the workers, individually you need to go and pray and ask God, what is this appetizing food you are talking about? This is the year 2021. You have been serving God. You have been doing many, many, many wonderful things for God. But what is God demanding again? That is the prayer. And the prayer is for all of you. You need to find out. I told them yesterday that one of the mistakes we may make is to assume that God has spoken to me last year. And so what God said last year is still what God is saying. It may not be so. Our God is a dynamic God. So you need to find out from moment to moment what's the dimension of what God is saying. So you need to pray and decode what that means, the appetizing food that God is talking about. But I promised them yesterday that we look a little bit into this appetizing food or this tasty food this morning, just to have an idea what is the dimension. Yesterday I told them that God is talking about His service. There was a special service that Esau was supposed to render to Isaac. But unfortunately, yesterday as we learned, he was not able to fulfill that for whatever reasons. Listen to that message. I'm not going over it again. So, but God is demanding for a service. One. And it is a service that is somehow different in a way or peculiar. And one other thing that is important about this demand is that it's attached to a blessing. Isaac said, so that I can bless you. So that I can release you into the fullness of the purpose of God for your life, so that I can release you into the next stage of what God has proposed for you. So that I can release you to the next stage of this journey, to the next phase of your life. That's what God is saying. But we will look a little bit into what God is talking about. Open your Bible to Leviticus. I think Leviticus 15. Okay, sorry, Leviticus chapter 5. Because of our time, we may not be able to read the entire chapter, but when you get back home, you can read the entire thing. You will see that that chapter we open to is talking about different types of offerings. Different types of offerings. You have the guilt offering, you have the burnt offering, you have the grain offering, you have the sin offering. You have different types of offering. There are fellowship offering, you know, different types of offering. But sincerely speaking, all those offerings, all those services, they are wonderful before the Lord. But some of you that know the scripture, I want to ask, which of these offerings do you think is the highest when it comes to God? I'm asking you. Yes? I thought somebody was raising up a hand here. You know, we talk about different types of offering, peace offering, fellowship offering, guilt offering, this offering, this offering. Which one do you think is the highest form of offering? You are all Bible students. Yes? Or you want to try? Is there anybody want to try? Yes, elder, you want to try? Eh? Living sacrifice. I didn't mention living sacrifice there. I mentioned several offerings. I said guilt offering. If you open to Leviticus chapter 5, it talks about guilt offering, fellowship offering, peace offering, burnt offering, different types of offerings. And I'm saying, which one do you think is highest? Eh? I'm not hearing you well. Burnt offering. Do you agree with him? Okay, who has a different opinion? Fellowship offering, okay? Do we all agree with that? Eh? Some are not talking. But let me tell you the truth. When it comes to sacrificing before the Lord, the burnt offering is the highest. Is the highest form of offering. And that I will talk to you a little bit of it. So when God says, prepare me a venison, it's a kind of offering. It's a kind of a service, but it's like a burnt offering. What makes the burnt offering peculiar is that that offering is completely burnt unto the Lord. The priest does not even taste it. The sacrificer does not taste it. If it is an animal, you bring the goat or you bring the lamb and you laid it on the altar. And so a fire is set on it. It is completely consumed. It is burnt completely into ashes. But it is the smell, the aroma. The aroma goes unto the Lord. The aroma goes unto the Lord. And it is exclusive for God. The priest, even the high priest, does not taste it. The person that brings it does not taste it. But for fellowship offering, it's also an offering, but we share it. Everybody share it. For guilt offering, you share it. The priest takes part of the guilt offering. The sinner will lay hands on the goat. They will slaughter it. They will give part of it to God, and the priest will reserve the others for himself. That's a guilt offering. But a burnt offering is completely burnt unto the Lord. It is only God that savors the aroma. It is only God that enjoys it. That is why it is a bond. And I perceive in my spirit, brothers and sisters, saints of the living God, that this year 2021, God is demanding a form of burnt offering from your life. In respect of the various offerings you might have been given, yes? And he enjoys them. But like we are moving higher, he said, now I am demanding something, a burnt offering. And this message that is coming to us, we are not the first that this type of a message was going to come to. I told you we are on a journey. I don't know at which level, but all of us, we are in a journey at we are at one point or the other. And we want to thank you for all that you have done. But now, as I'm talking, God is saying, I'm demanding a burnt offering from you. Whatever that may mean. We'll look into the scripture to decode some few things within the time we have. Open your Bible to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I will tell you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God has told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back. We are very familiar with that passage. But do you know the significant thing about burnt offering? I told you, there are peculiarities about burnt offering. God was very specific here. He said, take Isaac, your very Isaac, the one you love, and do what? Sacrifice him for me. It was as if God too is enjoying or was enjoying Isaac. You know, Isaac was the firstborn. And was a child that was born after a very long time. In Yoruba, one of his name will be Tanwa. Yes. Tanwa ni. Or Kanlawa. That would be one of the names if he was born in a Yoruba land. Or Kanlawa ni. Tanwa ni. So, it was the joy of Abraham. Any little thing, Isaac. Any little thing, Isaac, water, Isaac, this one, Isaac, that one, Isaac. And I think that boy came with some grace upon his life. Listen to me very well. I told your pastor yesterday we will talk. I will come back later, maybe before the end of the year, but this time I will be talking to the families. Families. It was not only Abraham that was enjoying Isaac, it was the aroma of Isaac's life was also pleasing to God. I don't know whether the aroma from our children are also pleasing unto the Lord. For God to have demanded, he said, take Isaac, your own very Isaac, that you love. I also want to taste of him. Go and burn him for me. Go and burn him for me. We are talking about burnt offering. We are talking about burnt offering. And thank God, over the years, Abraham has learned. He has walked with God. He knows God. He did not argue with God. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There is a stage you reach in the journey with God that your response all the time is, yes, Lord. Not like Peter, who said, no, Lord. The two cannot go together. You can't say somebody is Lord and you are still saying no. Mm-mm.
So Abraham said, yes, Lord. And you can imagine what that means. Isaac was the promised child. And he said, okay, God, if that's what is going to make you happy, if that is the tasty food you are demanding, if that is the delicious food you are demanding, if that's the appetizing one you are demanding, I will readily give it to you. And you know the story very well. Let me tell you the truth. When God is demanding for this tasty food, it's not something that you get in a corner. He's not asking for a crumb. He's not asking for something that will come out of your convenience. That's why it's a higher level we are getting into. It's like God is moving us from the platform where we have been into a higher platform. That's what I perceive in my heart that God is saying. And Abraham was ready. You know that went with it, the psychology. You know, they were walking for 3 days. And they were talking. You knowing that this boy is not coming back home with me, I'm going to slaughter him, and here you are talking. The situation got worse when the boy said, the wood is here, this is there, where is the lamp? Abraham said, God provide. And he actually got to that place. And he said, he has already tied the boy. I mentioned it to the workers yesterday. That's why I said, you must listen to him every second. Every second. The fact that God spoke to you this morning, that does not mean you should assume he spoke to me this morning. I can still go. I know. Confirm. Confirm. God, are you still saying I should go ahead? I said, if Abraham were to be many of us, we are very spiritual, but Isaac will not come back home with us. Because we have said, I heard him spoke to me that I should sacrifice him. We are at the last moment, when he was about to slaughter the boy, God said, no, don't lay your hands on the lad. I provided an alternative. But though Isaac did not die, but right from that moment, he knows that my only true father is who? Is God. This man is my earthly father. And the affection between Abraham and Isaac, I'm sure, end came to it that day. They still love each other. They still relate, but he knew that my true father is God. It's because of him that I'm still alive. And my allegiance, my totality, will be for him. A bond offering. I don't know what is it that is your own Isaac that God is demanding. We will look at another passage. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I will read. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat in the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep, see, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the root of David has triumphed, is able to open the scroll and the 7 seals. And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 ancients. You know the story. But what was the situation there? There was a great need on earth. This event took place in heaven. It took place right there in the presence of God. It was in the General Assembly where the Trinity were the directors and the leaders. But there was a need on earth. God perceived that his work was about to be destroyed completely. His world was about to be ruined totally. And there is need for a redemption. There is need for a scapegoat. There is need for a sacrifice. There is need for a burnt offering. And God announced, just as we are all seated, that who will go to Sambisa Forest for the sake of peace in Nigeria? Who? And all the elders were seated, the deacons and the deaconesses. They were looking at each other's face. They said, what did they say? What are they saying? They said, somebody who will volunteer to go to Sambisa Forest. And you know the implication of that. He may not come back alive. And if he comes back alive, he may be disabled. He may not be complete again. And as men are seated like this, their wives are making eye to them. To be sure that I hope he's not raising his hand. I hope he's not going to be emotional and raise his hand. I know my husband. Out of fear, some will say, Daddy, Tola Muferi Yinta. You understand? So there was an announcement like that in heaven. Who will go? If you get home, go and read it from chapter 4. You will see great elders. 24 elders with mighty, mighty crowns. They were all seated. You will see beasts. No, the Bible is talking about beasts, but they were creatures of God. Beasts that have eyes. One loju leyin, one loju niwaju. They can move in any direction. You can only move in only one direction. But these creatures, they can move in every direction. They are there worshiping God. Nobody could raise his hand. There was dead silence. Because the presence of God is the glory of God. They were already settled in their glory. They were already settled in their comfort. They were already settled in whatever. Who we go? And they look into the world. We are. Yao King, show me your bell. You understand? There was dead silence. And the Bible says, John said he started crying. Ah! Does it mean there will be no hope for mankind? Does it mean the work of God will be destroyed? Does it mean, you know? And as he was weeping, crying, an angel came and said, don't cry again. Somebody has volunteered. In the mix of that, somebody raised up his hand, said, Father, I will go. And that is the Lamb. And who is that one? Jesus. He left glory. He left comfort. He left the presence of the Father to come and dwell among sinners. Not only did he come, he became nothing. He became a nonentity. That human beings were spitting on him. They were slapping on him. And yet, he never threatened any one of them. He never threatened any one of them. Burnt offering. Jesus came. He left the presence of God. He left the glory with all the authority. He came here and he became nothing. Nothing. Nothing and nothing all true. He did not come for himself. He came for others. He lived for others. No single house, no single heart. Nothing. Nothing to inherit from him other than the will of the Father. That is the sample. It was a burnt offering. That's why the Bible says the Lamb of God. It was the burnt offering. God is demanding from us this morning. I don't know the type of burnt offering God is demanding. But he's saying, are you ready to live your life for others? Are you ready to come down from your comfort zone? Are you ready to come down from your glory for the sake of those, by the grace of God, who God will save? I do not have time this morning. I have asked one of our brothers. I brought him. He stays. He's with me. you know, the reality of what is happening in Nigeria. Do you know there are problems in Nigeria? I don't need to tell you that. But those problems are solvable, you know. But we need men who will say, I will go. If it means, if I perish, let me perish. By the grace of God, what God has given me grace, you know, to have gotten in touch with different categories of people. The last one is with us this morning. It's our brother, Daniel. Daniel is a Muslim, and God converted in a miraculous way in Ilorin. And so the brethren, at a stage, they wanted to, you know, the father knew that he has encountered Jesus. And the father was a very big Muslim in Ilorin. They are very powerful, very rich. So he felt that this boy, what can I do to make sure he doesn't come back to Christianity? So that boy got admission to read law. They didn't allow him to read law. They said he should go and read Arabic. You know, he went to Arabic, a Muslim university, graduated with first class in Arabic. I don't know whether you know what Arabic is all about. One of the most difficult languages is Arabic. Now, but because the seed of life is in this boy, the father was also planning. In fact, they were planning that within 3 days, 4 days, going to send him to Kano, from Kano to Saudi Arabia for another master, but he knew. So he escaped. How he escaped was miraculous. How he escaped was miraculous. I'm just paraphrasing because of time. Where I'm going is this. So the brethren in Lorin thought that, where can we send this boy to? Where will he be protected? So they called me. They said, this. I said, no problem. They brought the child. No, I won't tell you details, but the child was with me. But the mother died. So the mother died back in Ilorin there. That was, and he heard about it in the Bible. And he said, I love my mother. I want to go for the 8th day. I said, that is very risky. To cut the whole story short, he said he would pray and so on. And he prayed. We all prayed with him. We told him one or two things to do. He went, but the story changed. So because when he got there, immediately decided him. He was communicating with me. We said, don't sleep in a church and so on, but they were monitoring that. To cut the whole story short, you know, he traveled on Thursday. On Friday, he called me in the afternoon, said this is the situation. He met the father there and so on like that. But by 2-3, we did not hear anything from him again. So we started praying. We started, no communication. It was after about a week or 5 days later, we managed to get through to him. That was the time we knew that he has been arrested. You know, he has been taken to Republic of Benin and he was detained there. To call the whole story short again, we made an arrangement with that police station and said this and that, they released him. We didn't know it was a game. They promised us that they would release. We paid some money. And on his way, he was kidnapped back into a big forest. And for almost about 1 week, no communication. No communication. By the time we started hearing, he now said he's in a bush. He said he doesn't even know where the bush is. And that one of the two legs were tied to a tree. You know, one leg here. And it was the Fulani that were feeding him. It was a serious issue. Daniel is here. Daniel, where are you? Stand up. Praise the Lord. So Daniel is with us this morning. Sit down. And by the time, but God's helping me, was able to understand the Fulani language. So he was hearing. He got friendly with one of them. And those one confessed that it was an arrangement from his parents. Yes. That it was a contract. That's where I'm going. That it was a contract. And that they dare not release him, otherwise their job will finish. And so on. It's a long story. I'm bringing that because that's a new dimension of labor in Nigeria. Pastor Yemi, thank God for this beautiful place. Thank God for all of you. I can see you seated in very wonderful time. But we need men in those bushes. We need those who will rescue. If not for divine mercy, you won't see this young man that you are seeing this morning. And there are several like that. So we must sit down to trust God. What is the machinery? The church must come to this matter. The church is the one that has the solution to it. I'm telling you the truth. Government can't do anything. The police, they can do very little. It is the church. If not because of the body of Christ, this boy would have been dead by now. In fact, he told me that one night, one of them confessed that they wanted to kill him. That when he was dosing, they wanted to shoot, but they cannot shoot. They couldn't. They made an attempt. They couldn't. We are talking about a burnt offering. And God is saying, the time to leave your comfort zone or whatever you call glory is now. Because we don't have much time in our hands. And so, God is calling us to a higher service. I will mention the last one. Do I still have time? You hear me? Please. How many more? Praise the Lord. Now, open your Bible to the book of Ruth very quickly. Ruth. We are looking at the issue of burnt offering because God is demanding. We have come to a stage where God is making a demand upon our life. Like Isaac made a demand over Esau. He said, prepare me a venison. Prepare me a tasty food. I want to taste that in your life. And this is the issue that we are trusting God, that God will decode for us. Open your Bible to Ruth chapter 4. When you get back home again, I want you to read the entire book of Ruth. Now, I will quickly read because of my time. So, from verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here, and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabites, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Some of you might not be familiar with that passage very well, but some of you will be familiar. You all remember the story of Ruth. You know, Ruth was one of the widows in the family of Elimelech. You remember Elimelech and Naomi, they went to Moab and with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. You know, after 10 years, they got married to Moabites women, Ruth and Orpha. You remember after 10 years, those two children, sons, they died. So they were left with those ladies. And at the time, Naomi said, let me go back home. This place has not favored me. And as he was about to go back, Ruth insisted that she would go with Naomi. Naomi said, you don't need to. There is nothing here for you. I'm already old. I release you. Go to your people. But she insisted. Ophrah went back. But Ruth went with him. With her. They go back to Bethlehem, Judah. The lady was there. No husband, nothing. But at a stage, there was a possibility of getting a husband. When you read it, you know the details. Because of time, that's why I'm not saying all these details. But when you read it, you get the details. He has been working in the farm of Boaz. And Boaz was the first person that Ruth accosted. But Boaz said, no. Thank you for coming to me, for showing your interest. He said, but I am not the next in line. There is another nearer kinsman who has a right to first of all own you. But if he refuses, it is then my turn. We will talk about that in another day. He's talking about righteousness and integrity. Now, the following day, that's where I'm going. According to Boaz's words, he has gathered all the elders in the street. They were all there seated and so on. And he came. And the nearer kinsman too has been invited. That's the next relation. Who is closer to Elimelech family than any other person. And Boaz announced. He said, Naomi that has just returned from Moab, he has a piece of land, some acres of land, that is interested to sell. That I felt you are the next, you are the right person, you are the next. That if you are interested in the acres of land, then I will allow you. But if you are not interested, I am ready. Immediately the man had acres of land. He said, I'm interested. How much? How many millions? Immediately he said that. Boaz now said, it's all right, but relax. The day you buy those lands, you will also acquire roots. Do you know the problem of acquiring a widow in those days? Ruth was beautiful, very, very beautiful. But it's beyond that in Israel. What happens in Israel, once acquired the widow of a dead man, when you have children, those children will not bear your name. They will bear the name of the dead man. That is the challenge there. Not that they will bear your name. No! And those properties you have acquired does not belong to you. It's the children that you have raised in the name of that man that acquire those properties. So the reality was told. The man said, if that is the case, I want you to open your Bible. You will see the response in verse 6. So at this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it. Can we see it from other versions? No. Can we? That is NIV. Can you give us other versions? Like King James, you say, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. Yes, any other one? You know? He said, I cannot do that. I will jeopardize my own family's inheritance. Very wonderful statement and very wonderful excuse. Can we see another one? You still have more. You said, in that case, I will give up my right to buy the field because it will mean that my own children will not inherit it. Do you see that? Yes. Can we see other versions if there are still more? And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Those are excuses some of us give for not doing exactly what God wants us to do. It looks wonderful. I might mar my inheritance. I will jeopardize my family. I will do this and that. Some of us, what God is asking you to do, there are some of us, there is this social work that is all over the place. Social work belongs to brethren, saints like you. They are not meant for unbelievers. They are meant for people. But when you are going to those areas, you must be ready. You must be ready. It is risk. But Jesus took risk to come. But many of us are not ready to take risk today. I don't have time. I will share many of these experiences with you. Say, I'm sorry, I will mark my inheritance. I don't want anything that will tamper with my children's future. I don't want people that will inherit something, and so on. Do you know there are so many children outside who are looking for parents that will adopt them as children? But we are looking for those whom our own children, and we are ready to spend millions and billions, but there are others. There are others. Do you know we are adopted children? Yes, the mercy was, the salvation was meant for the Jews, but we received mercy. So a time has come. God is saying, prepare me a tasty food. Give me a burnt offering with your life. Can you render me a service? A service that is peculiar. A service, so to say, there is no benefit in court to you. This nearer kinsman say, I will raise children, I will send them to school, and they will not bear my name. No, I'm sorry. And then even the wahala, it is the children that will be bearing their father's name. I'm not. Do you know generally Africa, we are not ready to do a war we will not benefit from. Generally, even in the church too. In the church. And so when you see people that are unshekube, there is something they are after. Yeah. You understand? But God is looking for selfless laborers. Men that will serve God at the expense of their own risk. And yet they will go all out to serve the Lord. Not because of anything, but because of the love that Jesus died for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. He said, and that he died for all, that they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but live unto him who died for them and rose again. That is it. That is the essence of our life. So, brothers and sisters, as we pray again this morning, there is a fresh call. And that fresh call is a call to a higher service. A call to a higher sacrifice. A call that is beyond materialism. You know, Christianity is becoming more of materialistic than any other thing. One of my friends was sharing with me, he said he was in a plane with a Muslim, and they were sitting together, and so the Muslim was, they were talking, and the Muslim said, I know a lot about Christianity, he said, I've listened to many speakers, I've listened to many very powerful, and he was mentioning them. So that my friend now said, what is your conclusion with all the great speakers you are listening to? He said, well, that I just thought that Christianity is a religion that make people to just be materialistic, to have good things of life. That was the summary of a Muslim. Is it different from what we are pursuing? It's not. Say Christianity is just something that want to make you have a good life here. That's all. He didn't see eternity into it. He didn't see selfless service there. But brethren, this morning, there is a call coming to you. A call, God is saying, I want a burnt offering. He's demanding a burnt offering. But you need to go back and pray and say, Lord, what is the burnt offering you are talking about? God has shown us different scenarios of men who have responded to this call. Abraham responded. We have also seen Jesus. We are seeing this nearer kinsman. I want you to bow down your head and let us talk to God this morning. I want you to talk to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace. Through God's choice servant, we believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lifehouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.